If you're listening to this podcast, there's a really high chance that you are also interested in cookbooks. So I wanted to let you guys know that my cookbook, Elevated Everyday Paleo, is officially out wherever you get your books from. It's a collection of recipes that I believe make everyday cooking just a bit more special, and I hope it reminds you that there's art in so many little moments of life. You can grab it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookseller. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Manual Mode. I am your host, Mariah Sautel, and today is a solo Q&A episode. It is our last episode of 2021. I'm going to be taking about a 3-week break. We'll see how that feels, maybe 4, from recording. It has been really fun. I believe we've been live for about 4 months now. And I have loved getting to meet so many great guests and have so many great conversations. Please ignore the dog walking around in the background. But I have come to a place now where I want something more from the podcast and from the interviews. I really want just deeper, more in-depth conversations instead of more surface level things that you would hear on any other podcast that these guests might be on. Just talking more about the intellectual issues of being a creative, of being an entrepreneur. So in an effort to do that, I want to take a little bit of time off to kind of recharge and also rethink my goals for all of this. And we might potentially move to an every other week format. And see how that feels, if that allows me to get just higher quality conversations for you guys. Again, part of doing this for me was that I felt like I wanted to share perspectives that maybe hadn't been shared yet. And as a female in the entrepreneur space, I feel like there aren't a lot of podcasts that really go deep on intellectual issues. So hopefully some time away and a little more time to think about it will allow me to come to a place where that's something that I'm able to do. But for today, you didn't come to hear me ramble about housekeeping items. You came for some Q&As. So bear with me. I'm going to try not to yawn through this. I'm having some real exhaustion hit me after I just finished a full day of shooting, and It's getting tiring, but we're going to dive into these. And yeah, so I had you guys submit questions on Instagram for me to go through. So these are all submitted by, you know, friends of the pod. So what is your favorite lighting modifier? So take this with a grain of salt, because this is my favorite, and I think part of creating your own artistic style is finding something that you feel allows you to be your most creative. But for me, it's using really random objects like branches and stuff like that. I prefer to just have like a bare speed light and just be throwing all sorts of random stuff in front of it. Different boards with cutouts in them, or like eucalyptus branches or bases or whatever I can find. To me, that's just become a big part of kind of my signature style as a photographer, is the way that I use light creatively and using kind of unconventional modifiers. Aside from that, I love like a narrow strip softbox, because I'm assuming you were probably asking for something you can find on Amazon. So linked in my gear list on my website, I believe, is a softbox that, like a strip thin one. Great for moody lighting, great for drinks. I love that one. So that's my favorites. Advice for learning SEO. And this person was asking specifically for blog SEO. I cringe whenever someone wants like the blogger version of something and it has nothing to do with there being an issue with people being bloggers. It has everything to do with the mindset of being more serious about your business. And I think a lot of times people are like looking for some watered down version of it when they say something like that. And some of you are not going to understand what I'm saying here, and some of you will. So just know that this isn't an attack on bloggers. Just some of you will understand if you've been in business long enough. So I would say find an SEO course that teaches SEO as a whole. The number one thing to know is like create content for people, not for search engines. And that will reward you well in the long run. The other thing is to understand keywords and search terms and use those well in your content. And then, of course, you can get into meta tags and like H1, H2s, the whole outline of HTML and understanding how all of that works. So I would say find just a general SEO course. It doesn't need to be for a food blogger. And know that it's something that takes time to build, but it also comes from just making good stuff that people want to read. And then SEO is kind of like a natural outpouring of having really good content. Okay. How to find food stylists? Network. Go on Instagram, look for food stylists, go on LinkedIn, search the internet, go on different like resource websites like Found Artists, different places that rep food stylists, and just message them and make connections. It's funny to me whenever someone tells me they can't find a food stylist because there are like a gazillion of them on Instagram. You just have to do networking so that when you need someone, you already have made the connections, rather than looking for someone at the last minute and having not done your homework. How to prepare for a shoot. This comes down to having a good process with clients, like the way that you create a treatment and plan things with them, having just a really good process in place for all of the steps of your shoots. If you're asking just on like planning a personal shoot level, I would say I like to just like brainstorm words and come up with just a concept based on feelings and mood. Or sometimes I'll just be inspired by a type of light that I want to play with. And then create a mood board, lay out some props, just kind of look at all your props laid out, see what's working, what's not working, and then start kind of building a scene and light it, and then take it from there. But it's funny to me when people say that they can like bang out several shoots in a day, because to me, I just don't understand how you can do that much in a day. Because I like to really sit with an idea and look at things and swap out a glass and then see how I feel about it. So it's just a very slow, methodical process of looking at every little detail and, you know, adding and removing and playing with the details until something feels like it tells the right story. I'm lost on the whole contract thing with clients. What should I include? Okay. Well, disclaimer, I am not a lawyer. This is not professional legal advice. But you need to have different things in, like what happens if they cancel? What happens if the product arrives late? What happens if they want to reshoot? What happens if you go into overtime? What are like the fees for all of the different materials that you're going to need? What are the licensing fees? What are the terms of the licensing? Have them pay a non-refundable retainer so that you have a deposit. What happens if weather happens and you have to cancel or reschedule? What are the payment terms? Like, how long do they have to pay you? None of this is like line for line, word for word, what to have in your contract, but those are just some ideas. I would look online for a good contract that you can use, and, you know, I've had to find some and modify them and add to them and then get legal advice on it and modify and add some more. So I don't know that this is like a one and done thing, because there are just so many moving pieces and different things that you'll have in your individual business that you'll want to factor in. But I would just, those are just some starter things to check yours for, and a lot of things that I think photographers don't think about immediately, that could trip you up later down the road. Tips for having job security as a photographer. So I think number one would be understanding that you're not going to have consistent job security. So be comfortable with knowing that you're in a business that ebbs and flows and will always ebb and flow. The next is learning to negotiate ongoing retainer deals with clients who need enough work. Doing great work for people and having a great process and sending them Christmas gifts and sending them thank you notes and building good rapport with clients is a good way to make some repeat clients. And then if you are slow, if you feel like you haven't gotten a job in a while, sit back and take a look at what's not working. Don't just sit there and be like, oh man, this isn't fun. Look at your website, look at your outreach, look at your marketing, look for why things might not be working for you, and use it as a chance to troubleshoot. Use downtime as a chance to figure out why you're having downtime, and then maybe that will lead to less of it later down the road. Okay, how do you stay inspired? Well, I think that inspiration in a lot of ways is a choice. Like, choosing to feel motivated to go work is a choice. So even when I don't feel like it, I tend to just go do stuff, and ideas come when you are creating momentum. I think waiting for lightning to strike is just a foolish way to be a creative, because it just leaves you at the mercy of just your emotions, which are too unstable. But I will say that I had a big creative breakthrough this weekend that I really needed, and it came because I gave myself the mental space without distraction to let ideas flow openly. Something that doesn't happen when you're living a life that is just jam-packed with schedule and email notifications and constant Instagram checking. And I've been rereading Atomic Habits, which is a great reminder that actions help us create identity. So if you want to be a great creative, act like one. Give yourself time to brainstorm and think, turn off your phone, give yourself afternoons to just create, and let ideas flow on pen and paper. Just the more you act like a creative, the more I think you are creative, and thus more inspired. I don't have Instagram on my phone anymore. You can now post from your computer. If you need to post a story or whatever, then, you know, you can download the app and then just delete it again after. But I find that, number one, like I said, we don't need to wait to be inspired to do work. But number two, distraction is the enemy of creativity. So eliminate distractions and be really honest with yourself about where the distractions are coming from in your life. And I will guarantee you most of them are related to your phone. So set boundaries for yourself, delete the apps, just act like a creative and you'll become more creative. And to me, the rest is just understanding that you just have to sit with the work. And a lot of times the first thing that you do doesn't come out great, and it's just a process of refining that helps something to get better. Advice you would give yourself 5 years ago. I would say, number one, it gets easier as you get to know yourself better, but that takes time. And it takes mistakes. And It's so hard to navigate the world of clients when you yourself are insecure, because clients are insecure, but when you are new and you don't totally know what you're doing and you are just, you know, putting one foot in front of the other and trying, it can be really difficult because you're just managing a lot of unsure people who want something good but just aren't totally sure how to get there. But the more that you work and the more you get to know yourself and your identity as a creative and your process, the better it gets. But a lot of times it just takes learning takes mistakes to learn the things that you need to know. And yes, investing in programs and coaches and things to help you, you know, bypass some mistakes definitely works, but you're not going to learn everything you need to know that way. Some things are just learned through experience. So I would tell myself that it gets easier. I was thinking back to like 19-year-old me who was like driving across the country to go live in Arizona, and I did not want to be going, and there was just like this pit in my stomach all the way, and I knew that it was the right thing for me to do, even though none of me wanted it. And only part of it that I wanted was the part of me that knew that it was right, and that sometimes we have to do things and be in places that make us a little uncomfortable. And I remember it was the years that I spent there were so hard. Everything was just a fight. I had to learn so much. I had to deal with so many health issues. I was totally alone on the opposite side of the country from where I grew up and where my family was and where I had a support system. And going through something like that where I just had no support system and just knew that I wanted to create something but didn't know what and had to learn so much, it was hard. And I wanted more than anything to be in New York, but I couldn't get there without learning some things the hard way. So I would go and I would tell that person, like, just so you know, like, one day you're gonna be in New York. And she would have just like lost it. She'd been like, there's no way, like, this, it felt like such a dead end and like such a difficult thing to be stuck in. So to tell myself that it wasn't for nothing, and that it was going to be hard, but it was all going to be worth it, and that it was going to one day, it was still going to be hard later, but the problems were going to be easier to deal with because they would be some problems that come along with success. I just wish I could talk. I've been rambling a lot, but I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and how grateful I am for the problems that I have today, because they're problems that I have in a place that I dreamed about being, in a place that my younger self just didn't ever even know was going to be possible, but that she wanted so bad. So yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot. I would also tell myself that, yes, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight for every little bit of success, and it's not going to be easy, but it is all going to be worth it, and you should let yourself enjoy it a little more. I didn't let myself enjoy it enough, because I think I had a lot of fear with all of the little things that went right, that it was still all just going to fall away. I think entrepreneurship feels like that for everyone, and then it can still feel like that even years into it, but hopefully that fades a little bit. But yeah, I would tell myself just to enjoy it and to know that most of entrepreneurship is the journey. And there's never really any form of arriving with all of this. So just to enjoy the fact that you get to do what you love for a living. And the last thing that I would say is to embrace the constraints. Having financial constraints and time constraints and space constraints and just barely any resources. When even as you move up and you start to have more of the resources to work, you're still under constraints for every type of project. Constraints in a lot of ways make art, because constraints are a problem and problems need to be solved, and creativity and art is how we solve problems. So constraints are just always going to be a part of your life as a creative. So learning to embrace those little annoying ones when you first start, when you're like, oh, I just don't have any space, or I don't have anyone to help me, and I have no money to do any of this. Just learning to roll with all of that and be okay with it and know that there's always going to be limitations, and it's always going to be your job to work within limitations, I think can make it just feel a little easier and help you to lean into it all a little more. So that's what I would say. That was kind of a ramble, but there's a lot that I've been thinking about. And I think the end of the year comes with a lot of reflection, but there's a lot that I've been thinking about just with where I am now after being in New York for a full year and all the things that it took to get here, and just really wanting to learn from the mistakes that I made on the way to here so that I don't make the same mistakes to wherever I'm going to next, has been something I've been thinking about. But anyways, I'm losing my voice, so I'm going to end us there. But thank you so much for listening. I'm wishing you a wonderful holiday season, Christmas, whatever you celebrate, and a wonderful new year. And I will see you all in 2022 on our next episode. Bye for now. Thank you.